The seventh case of the morning. This is Garbutt versus Holder, appeal number 084188. And Mr. Roth.
May it please the Court, I'm Charles Roth for the petitioner, Mr. Garbutt. Under the immigration laws, an aggravated felony finding bars an individual from basically all relief from deportation. Mr. Garbutt's a citizen of Belize. He's been a lawful permanent resident of this country since 1981. He has two convictions for possession of drugs. The second drug possession conviction was held to be an aggravated felony. The board would not hold that if it had the ability to make the decision in the first instance. But this court has issued three decisions in Fernandez and two decisions in Pacheco-Diaz, which hold to the contrary. So you've addressed aspects of this question before, but in neither Fernandez nor in Pacheco-Diaz did you consider the question of whether the board ought to receive Chevron deference for its interpretation of Section 1101 and A43 in its in the comparison of whether a state offense matches up to an undisputed list of federal offenses which constitute aggravated felonies. If the board gets Chevron deference to the manner of comparing state offenses to federal felony offenses, that triggers Brand X. And under Brand X, a prior court of appeals decision that decides the best way to interpret a couple complicated statutory provisions doesn't trump. Rather, you'd have to defer to the subsequent agency decision. We know what Congress meant in Section 924C. Now that the Supreme Court decided Lopez and with this court's decision in Gonzalez-Gomez, 924C references a list of, by my count, 22 different offenses which are felonies under the Federal Controlled Substances Act. Of course, there's various subsections. But Lopez and Gonzalez-Gomez say that language in 924C references that list of federal felony offenses. Now, we know, and this court decided in Fernandez, that an individual convicted federally of two misdemeanor possession offenses, two simple possession offenses, that is to say without any recidivist enhancements, would not be considered to have been convicted of an aggravated felony. Fernandez says, in that case, there's no need to analogize between federal and state offenses. So really, the only question here is that analogizing function. And the analogizing function is one to which this court grants deference to the board. And that was the holding of this court in Negrete. In Negrete, the issue was a felon in possession statute. The federal felon in possession statute has to include the interstate commerce element, that the gun has moved in interstate commerce. The state felon in possession statute doesn't need to include that, and it doesn't. And so the question before the board in this court in Negrete was whether a state felon in possession conviction was described in the federal felon in possession statute, and you deferred to the board's resolution of that issue. We don't see any substantial distinction between the analogizing that occurred in Negrete and the analogizing that has to occur here. I would note, and the Supreme Court noted in footnote 8 of Lopez, the penultimate sentence in Section 1101A43 was added by Congress in an express attempt to confirm the Board of Immigration Appeals decision in Matter of Barrett. Matter of Barrett held that the board was going to analogize between state drug trafficking convictions and federal felony, the list of federal felony convictions. We didn't talk a lot about legislative history in our briefs, and perhaps we should have, but I would posit that's additional evidence that Congress intended in the penultimate sentence of 1101A43 for the Board of Immigration Appeals to be making these kinds of decisions. The board's means of comparing state and federal offenses is a reasonable one. It's been adopted by four of the other courts of appeals. It gives meaning to a plea bargain agreement that occurs in the state level, where a state prosecutor decides whether to go after somebody as a recidivist or not. this court obviously reached a different conclusion in Pacheco Diaz and Fernandez, but in neither of those cases did the court decide whether deference was appropriate. I'll reserve the balance of my time.
Mercia.
May it please the Court, Lisa S. Mercy of the Office of Immigration Litigation for the respondent. There's only one main issue before the Court today, and that is whether Mr. Garbutt's second conviction for possession of cocaine qualifies as an aggravated felony under Section 101A43B of the Immigration Nationality Act. This question, as the petitioner acknowledges, is squarely controlled by this Court's precedent in Fernandez v. Mukasey. In Fernandez v. Mukasey, this court held an alien was rendered removable and ineligible for cancellation of removal when an alien's second state law conviction for simple controlled substance possession constituted an aggravated felony under 101-843-B. Mr. Garbutt undisputedly was first convicted of a violation of the Illinois state statute concerning possession of cocaine on July 7, 2009. Based on the reasoning of Fernandez and the Pacheco cases in this court, therefore his second law state law conviction on August 9, 2007 in violation of the Illinois state statute was an aggravated felony under 101A43B. As this court's precedent is clear, therefore this court should deny the petition for review. Unless the court has any questions, I will rest.
Very well.
Thank you.
I suppose that's the problem that you face.
The court certainly has decided.
This has been decided. No active judge, no judge in regular service has voted to rehear that case en banc, and that was less than a year ago. And we don't often overrule 1-year-old precedents.
Granted, I would say to the court this. First, Brand X doesn't require the overruling of a precedent. Fernandez stands as the best reading of the statute, but under Brand X, the best reading of the statute doesn't trump. Oddly enough, I didn't like Brand X when it came down, but that's what Brand X says. It says that where there's, and Your Honor, the issue of, no one argued for Chevron deference in Fernandez. This is not a coincidence. Fernandez was briefed before the board decided matter of Karachuri. There was supplemental briefing ordered in Fernandez, but no party argued that the board's decision ought to receive Chevron deference. So Pacheco Diaz 1 was decided in the absence of any precedential authority by the board. Fernandez was briefed in the absence of such authority. And the parties, frankly, did not argue, for whatever reason, that precedential authority, which the Supreme Court has held in Aguirre-Aguirre, gets Chevron deference. No one actually addressed that. And where a court of appeals hasn't addressed, where the parties haven't raised the issue, the court hasn't addressed it. I would assume the court doesn't address it, in part because it isn't briefed, in part because the courts don't want to reach out and decide issues that haven't been briefed or addressed or argued. And so the fact that Fernandez hasn't, the word deference doesn't even appear in the Fernandez decision. The word Chevron doesn't appear. Nothing in Fernandez indicates that they considered whether this was a reasonable interpretation of the statute. So, I would say this: I think Brand X is a counterintuitive way for courts to go about the business of judging what statutes mean, and it is in a way odd for this court to be deferring to the Board of Immigration Appeals when this court has, one might think, as much ability to analyze what the statute means as the board does, which is why some courts of appeals don't defer to the Board of Immigration Appeals as to 1101A43 at all. The Ninth Circuit says, hey, we can do this as well as they can. But this court has approached it differently. And it's inconsistent to say in Negrete that you're going to defer to the Board of Immigration Appeals in its analogizing. And in this case to say that you won't. That's not the only example. Rosales Pineda actually involved a question of deference to what the board considered in terms of conviction documents to determine whether an individual had been convicted of an aggravated felony. The board is charged with administering this statute, and because they're charged with administering it, their resolution of these issues ought to receive deference under this court's authority. Obviously, I'm arguing that because it means the world to my client. He's lived in this country legally for 28 years. He's got two convictions. If we're right, he ought to have the chance to have an immigration judge look at the facts of his case and say, is this guy likely going to commit more crimes? Can he show rehabilitation? What about the fact that all his family is here? Is this guy going to turn his life around or isn't he? Because of the aggravated felony finding, we don't get to make any of those arguments. It's automatic. And so it's an oddity for me to be standing up here arguing for deference. But we would urge the court to apply its prior case law to defer to the board's interpretation of this provision and to grant the petition for review.
Okay, thank you. Case is taken under advisement, and we proceed then to the